Thank you, Ryan, for those thoughts from this week's Torah portion. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5, starting with verse 1. Living differently from a spiritually and morally corrupt world. It's important to understand the nature of man. If we don't understand who we are, if we don't diagnose the human condition properly, we won't look to the right solution for our problems. We won't go to the right source to get the help that we so desperately need. We won't live the way that we should live. We won't reach the amazing goal that can be reached. So here's the truth. Human beings were made by a personal, righteous, holy, perfect Creator God. We were made in His image with the essential elements of personhood, of mind, emotion, and will, with the amazing abilities to think, to feel, to reason, to choose. But the image of God was marred by the fall of man. In the beginning of human history, Adam and Eve, who were very real people, joined the rebellion of the fallen angels. And as a result, they were alienated from their Creator. After the fall, when they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, the later afternoon, instead of getting closer to God, they ran away from God and hid from Him. Not only was the image of God marred and their relationship with their Creator ruined, but Adam and Eve's destiny was destroyed. They were not allowed to eat from the tree of life. They were exiled from the delightful Garden of Eden. They were no longer headed toward life, but now they were headed toward death. The first death, which is physical death, followed by the even worse second death, which is Gehenna, hell, the lake of fire. The catastrophe that took place in Eden affected every aspect of the humanity of Adam and Eve. Their bodies, their souls, their wills, their minds, their emotions, their spirits, their relationship with God, with nature, later their relationship to other human beings, their destiny. Every aspect of who they were became damaged, broken, corrupted. As a result of the fall, sin, the sin nature, domination by the demons and death took control of humanity. What happened in Eden did not stay in Eden. That corruption of body, soul, will, mind, spirit, sexuality, relationship to others, relationship to God, relationship to nature, loss of eternal life, all of it was passed on like a horrible disease, affecting all of their descendants, you and me. But when we hear the good news and understand that Yeshua is the Messiah, and we transfer our loyalties to Him and to His Father, they give us their Spirit. And the Holy Spirit joins us to the Father and to the Son and to the other members of the community of the Messiah. And there's more. We receive a new nature. We receive new power. Power to live for God. Power to resist sin. Power to do what is right. Power to declare the good news to a dying world. We have a whole new orientation, new values, new priorities, new goals. Living for God, not the world. Living for God, not for self. Righteousness, doing what is right becomes important to us. Holiness, purity, separation from what is wrong becomes important to us. The born-again, new-natured sons and daughters of the holy and glorious and eternal Creator can no longer live like the rest of a morally and spiritually depraved world. Fallen human beings are not the examples we follow as to how to live. We have a much better example. Ephesians 5, verse 1, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Messiah loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. It's very beneficial for children to have a good father. A good father is a tremendous asset. A good father loves his children. He cares for them. He provides for them. He protects them. He teaches them. He corrects them. He trains them. He treats their mother well, which also benefits the children. He works hard. He's an active member in Messiah's community. He helps those outside the community of salvation in practical ways and brings the good news to them. Children who have a good father like this are incredibly blessed. While everyone may not be blessed with a good father like this, all those who have been redeemed out of the satanic slave market of sin and death do have a good father, a very good father, in fact, the very best father. God the Father becomes our Father. And as a good father, he is our role model. He is our example of proper values and right priorities and how to live. And as his dearly beloved children, we look to him and we imitate him. What we see him doing, we do. What we hear him saying, we say. Our heavenly Father is our role model, our example. We follow his example. But how do we see our heavenly Father, who is invisible, doing things and valuing things and prioritizing things, so that we can follow his example? Well, we look to the one who reveals the Father, the invisible God, the Messiah. By means of the Word of God, we are able to observe the life of Yeshua and see his life and death. We're able to understand his teachings and values and actions and follow his example. When we do that, we find that his example is characterized by love. Follow God's example and walk in the way of love, just as Messiah loved us and gave himself up for us. Messiah's life is characterized by love. Fallen human beings have a kind of love, but it's generally a limited kind of love, a love that is reserved for a close family and a few friends. And it is often an inadequate kind of love, since love, true love, must be based on truth. Love and truth are inseparable. You cannot fully love someone if you do not do what is best for him. And doing what is best is based on truth. If you care for someone, but you tell them to do something wrong, if you give someone advice that will harm him or harm others, you're really not loving him. Love and truth are inseparable. Fallen human beings have a limited and an inadequate kind of love. And they're not very big on sacrifice. What? Sacrifice my hard-earned resources, my time, my energy, sacrifice even my life for those who are not close family or friends? Are you kidding? No way. That is not our example. We are not to imitate a selfish world. Instead, we are to follow Messiah's example and walk in the way of love, a love based on truth, a love connected to God, a love that is sacrificial. Walk in the way of love means live in the way of love. Live a life characterized by love, a love that cares for others in practical ways, a love that brings truth to others, a love that is committed to save others from Satan and the demons, sin, the sin nature, death, and hell, a love that sacrifices for others, especially for brothers and sisters in Messiah's community. The way of love is the way Yeshua lived. His life was characterized by this kind of selfless living and sacrificial love based on the truth. Rabbi Paul writes that Messiah loved us and he gave himself up for us like a fragrant offering, like a sacrifice to God. This is the language and the imagery of sacrifice, of atonement, of temple worship. Rabbi Paul compares Messiah's life to the korbanot, the sacrifices which were offered at the temple in Jerusalem, offerings which brought human beings closer to God and made atonement possible. Messiah's life was like a fragrant offering, like the delicious aroma given off by a cow or a lamb burning on the bronze altar at the temple, which pleased God and atoned for the offerer. Only Messiah's sacrifice was much better than the animals that were sacrificed because the animals did not willingly give themselves up for human beings. They resisted death. But the Son of God gave himself up for us. He was a voluntary, willing sacrifice. Messiah loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Messiah's way of life that is characterized by sacrificial love that brings people closer to God is like one of the cows, goats, or sheep that was sacrificed, its body burned, making a delicious smell, pleasing God, and bringing atonement to human beings. And that's what our lives will be like if we walk in the way of love. Our lives will be attractive, a blessing to human beings, and something that pleases and delights the Creator. Our lives will be meaningful, valuable, praiseworthy, significant, worthy of a reward. Follow God's example and walk, live in the way of love, this kind of love modeled by Messiah. God created us male and female as sexual beings. He also designed us so that our sexuality is to be enjoyed in a one-man, one-woman marriage relationship and nowhere else. But the fall of man has affected our sexuality, and fallen people find it easy to pervert their sexuality. They have sex before marriage. They commit adultery outside of marriage. They have sex with the same sex. They watch pornography, other people having sex. They talk about their sexual conquests with their friends. God's sons and daughters, holy, set apart for God's purposes, must not be like that. They must be sexually pure. But among you, Rabbi Paul writes, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. We are to restrain our sexual desires. And we don't want to give in to greed, the desire for more and more physical possessions, thinking that more and more material things will make us happy. Fallen human beings are almost always discontent. They constantly want more. More money, more fame, more sexual partners, a bigger house, a nicer car. What does the typical multimillionaire want? More millions. There's never enough. We are to be different. If our needs are being met, we are to be content with what we have, not discontent, and greedy for what we do not have. Fallen human beings often say inappropriate, crude, rude, stupid things. They make dirty jokes. They use all kinds of insulting, offensive language. They take God's name in vain as part of their humor or to emphasize a point. We must not be like that. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather giving of thanks. Language is a great gift. Words have the amazing ability to communicate truth. We are to use our words wisely and well. We are to use the gift of language to give thanks to the Creator for the amazing being that He is. We are to express gratitude to Him for the great things He has done, is doing, and will do for us. We have so much to be thankful for. Our conversation should have a huge component of praise and thanksgiving, not obscene or foolish talk or crude jokes. Now back to immorality and greed. Most people in the world don't think that sexual immorality or greed are sins, sins that would keep anyone out of heaven, if there is a heaven. Murder, maybe. Torture, maybe. But sexual activity outside of marriage or greed? Those things are no big deal. But sexual immorality and greed are a big deal, a very big deal. And they absolutely will keep people out of heaven, and we need to know that. For of this you can be sure. No immoral person, no impure person, no greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Messiah and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. Sexual immorality and greed are a huge deal because not only are they displeasing to a holy God, they also are symptoms of a much bigger problem, which Paul identifies as idolatry. Idolatry is not just bowing down before an idol or a false god. Idolatry takes place when a human being puts anything or anyone before, above, the true God. Anyone, anything that comes before God in your affections, in your devotions, in your priorities is a substitute God, a false God, an idol. Putting impure sexual desires before God is an idol. Giving into greed, the desire for more and more material things, is idolatrous. And the Word of God makes it crystal clear that those who serve false gods are in a state of rebellion against the true God and will not enter His eternal and blessed kingdom. Do not let anyone deceive you with empty assurances that you can be sexually immoral and go to heaven, that you can devote your life to the pursuit of wealth and live forever. It's not going to happen. God is angry with people who have these rebellious priorities. He will punish them. Do not be like them. Don't share their attitudes. Don't share their punishment. All your greedy material and sexual pleasures will not be worth it if you offend your Creator and forfeit your inheritance in the kingdom of God. Of this you can be sure. No immoral, greedy person who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Messiah and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. Fallen human beings are characterized by darkness, not light. Light is a wonderful thing that is used to represent truth, knowledge, wisdom, revelation, purity, happiness, victory, life. Darkness is the opposite. Ignorance, confusion, defeat, unhappiness, death. Humanity is not enlightened. Human beings are born into a dark world and come into this world in darkened. We do not want to remain in that dark condition. We want to come to the light and live according to the light. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord, because of the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light, the result of light, consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose those fruitless deeds of darkness. It's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. And everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That's why it said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Messiah will shine on you." Be very careful, then, how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. You were once darkness, Rabbi Paul tells the Ephesians, far from God, ignorant, confused about the most important things, defeated, unhappy, headed towards death and hell. But now, connected to the Lord, you are light. You know the truth. You know God. You will be amazingly victorious. You will live forever in unending happiness. Therefore, live as children of light, human beings whose lives are characterized by knowing God, knowing the truth. The fruit of the light, the result of knowing God, the result of knowing the truth, is goodness and righteousness and truth. So be good. Do what is wholesome and beneficial. Do what is right according to God's standards of what is right. Live according to truth, what God has revealed as being true. Since we enter a dark world and we are ourselves in darkened, we need to find out what pleases the Lord and what displeases Him. What He considers right, what He considers wrong, what He declares to be true, and what He declares to be false. And of course, we find these things out by familiarizing ourselves with the Word of God and by talking to mature and godly brothers and sisters. Find out what pleases the Lord and live that way. The only relationship we are to have to the fruitless, useless, non-beneficial deeds of darkness is to expose them, not practice them or approve of those who are practicing them. It's shameful even to mention what disobedient men and women do in secret. I heard someone recently say that people have three lives. Their public life, which they reveal to the world, and that's only part of who they are. Their private life, which they reveal to trusted friends and family, that's only part of who they are. And then their secret life, with their deeds of darkness, which they reveal to no one. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. The enlightened sons and daughters of God must take a stand for God, for truth, for righteousness, for morality. Everything exposed by the light becomes visible. And everything that is illuminated becomes light. That's why it's said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Messiah will shine on you." Someone observed, light by its nature goes on the offensive. It shines in the darkness. When light shines in the darkness, it exposes things that are in the darkness. If you have a dark room, even a small light may reveal that the bed is unmade, that dirty clothes are everywhere, that the trash is piling up, the cat's litter box is overflowing, there are empty beer, wine, and whiskey bottles, drug paraphernalia, and pornography lying around the room. We are the light of the world. We are not to keep the truth hidden. Our life, our light must shine. We need to tell a dark world the truth, that there is a holy God, that there is a way of salvation, that God has standards of morality. We must tell the world that a successful life does not consist in the abundance of things. We must tell the world that premarital sex, adultery, homosexuality, living together without being married, divorce without biblical grounds are displeasing to the holy God and will result in divine punishment. People may not like it, but we must speak out anyway. Our light must shine. We must expose the unfruitful deeds of darkness. Some may listen and come out of the darkness and come into the light. But even if they don't, we still must live according to the truth and proclaim the truth. Everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That's why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Messiah will shine on you." That last part seems to be a song, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Messiah will shine on you." A song that early Messianic Jews and Christians were familiar with in the first century. It expresses the truth that fallen human beings are in spiritual darkness, spiritually asleep, unaware of what's really going on, what's really important, what's really worth pursuing. Awake, sleeper. Rise from the dead. Messiah will shine on you. Humanity is in so much darkness, so sleepy, so unaware, so unresponsive, that it's like we are dead. But when the sons and daughters of God declare the truth that Yeshua is alive and the risen Savior, and call men and women to transfer their loyalties to Him and to His Father and to the truth, and to live according to the truth, those who are in this death-like sleep are able to wake up and become enlightened and saved. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Messiah will shine on you. We live in a world that is satanically controlled, and is in rebellion against God, and is under a curse. But God is at work in that fallen world, making salvation and eternal life possible. Since life is short, we do not waste precious time. Since opportunities are limited, we do not waste opportunities to live for God and to call people to turn to God and away from materialistic and immoral living. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise people, but as wise people, making the most of every opportunity.